This party's a bore. Accompany me to the laboratory and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
The monster coming along.
The storm approaches, Master. It's time. It's time.
Excellent.
Main power to maximum. Biogenic generator engaged. Raise the monster.
Yes. Yes.
It's time for the
Jingle Show.
Yeah. He's alive. I'm alive.
He's still alive.
Still alive. Jingle. Made it back from Colorado. Colorado. I'll tell you, it was touch and go there for a while.
I'll bet. I like the comment about how you are traveling around in an Apollo-like capsule. Not with fellow astronauts, mind you.
Not with anybody that, that could speak my lingo. Oh, my God.
Too much. Well, good to have you back.
Well, we're here. Good to be back.
Yeah, since the phone stuff doesn't seem to work very well.
No, well, I still got to... They haven't fixed the phone yet. I'm going to get that first on the list for tomorrow. Today is Sunday. Sunday is somewhere near the end of June.
24th?
25th. Sunday 20th here in the evening, and we have our usual cadre of suspects here. Yes, Jack Rhodes.
Hey,
Jack Rhodes.
All right, one of our favorites. And Curtis, the attorney.
Hey,
Curtis. I tell you, we could have used you a couple of times out there. We had some that no-knock business. We want to talk about that out there.
Oh, I thought you meant like along the road.
No.
That's what I was thinking. Too.
I was wondering, is there anybody chasing you still and showing up soon? Call my lawyer.
I need to call. Engineer Eric.
Engineer.
Eric of Engineer. That's right. Okay. Good job on mixing the last Hanger Dog show for us.
I think we're still friends.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that Hanger Dog.
Yeah, that was...
We got lots on our plate today.
Yeah, we got lots of...
Give them a rundown.
Okay, quick rundown. Big news. This is the evening of the environment. New nuclear something. I'll talk about that. Earth is the hottest ever. Getting ready to spin
it's
into the sun.
Burn.
That's right.
We're burning up.
Flame. That's
it's
right.
That's the hottest place on Earth.
That's right. And of course, in order to fuel the fire, they're going to make more ethanol.
Right.
So cover the Earth in ethanol and then light it. Al Gore's movie, the Earth in Contention or
the
something.
The now famous producer, Al Gore.
That's right. Yeah. And also going to talk a little bit about the immigration. The bill is dead. Long live the new bill. Whatever. Apparently, everybody's good. They're having de facto amnesty. We'll talk about that. And I'll talk a little bit about the ride back and how people don't understand. Governments are the same everywhere, and people are the same. People are friendly. Governments suck. That's about it. The only other thing I wanted to mention was I wish Rush and Hannity would lay off of Al Gore because otherwise he might not get nominated. I mean, he'd be easy to beat. You know, they might get him out of the running before, and then we get Hillary.
Right.
Hillary.
Gore's been making the late night circuit. I saw him on Letterman the other night.
Yeah. I didn't see that one. Of course, I've been out of touch on the road and everything. I've been able to hear Grandma's, it's called Grandma's Gasps.
From the back seat.
I finally figured out that Grandma doesn't, she doesn't like to ride in the car either. I mean, let me put it this way.
She doesn't like to go really fast around corners?
She doesn't like
slam on the brakes?
No. Corners, what a joke. No, it's if there's another car in visual range, she starts to put on the brakes.
Even
something.
If it's in your lane.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Go in the same direction.
That's right. Yeah. If it's if it's a speck on the horizon, it's slowdown time.
Well,
you told her
that's what the handles on the
The problem was she was hanging on her belt in the back seat, hanging on her on her seat belt the whole time. And what I realized is that she is not only is she a white knuckle flyer, she's a white knuckle rider in the car too. We're over. We're done. She can't ride anymore because,
that was the last family trip.
That's it. Well, that's right. That's right. Some other way. Okay.
Al Gore.
The big news basically is all environmental today. And that has to do with the first. I saw this headline here, and it says U.S. grants first license for major nuclear plant in 30 years. And I thought, oh my God, what have they done? They finally wised up, and they're not going to drill in the Antarctic or in the Arctic yet, but they're going to build a nuclear power plant. Well, oh well. Read the article; it's a little different. It turns out it's a fuel generating. It's not an actual generator; it makes fuel. Hmm. So what it does is it refines uranium for other plants, and that's all it does. Anyway, wait a minute. It doesn't generate any electricity. So anyway, it's $1.5 billion under review for 2.5 years and could be ready to sell enriched uranium by early 2009.
All right.
But I thought it was interesting. Critics, here's one of the things that I also wanted to ask somebody about. Critics say it will pollute the environment, guzzle, mind you, not use, but guzzle scarce water, and leave the town with tons of radioactive waste and nowhere to put it. And it's interesting because this...
Sounds like a winner to me.
Yeah, no, it does. Well, I thought this was interesting that the NRC staff issued the license after rulings and so forth. Last month, federal officials cleared one of the last legal hurdles, questions about waste disposal. And they said, May 31st, that uncertainties over waste disposal costs are irrelevant. That's how they cured it. We don't care. They said that they've set aside some money, and they apparently they've got a hole in the ground that'll hold about 10 years worth of waste.
Where are they talking about building this?
This out in New Mexico.
New Mexico.
And but I love this. Anytime anybody has a problem, they always say they use the pejorative words, guzzle scarce water, not use, not replace, not even guzzle. And I asked somebody on the way over here, what is a gas guzzler? What constitutes? Did we talk about that before? What is it? What
maybe
actually,
not on air.
What actually is a gas guzzler? Mm-hmm. Is it any SUV?
The space shuttle's a gas guzzler.
Imagine. that's going up here this week.
But it's all relative. But under 20 miles of the gallons.
But what happens if you have your 18 mile an hour vehicle,
right,
and you regularly have to haul 8 people? Is that a gas guzzler? And you could have your 21 mile per gallon item, right, and 21 miles per hour.
Remember,
too. And one person. What's the more efficient? I mean, that to me, if you have a one person in a 40 mile per gallon electro car versus 8 people regularly using.
I got it.
Okay, what?
We need a gas czar.
Yes. Well, we do. We're supposed to have. We have had energy czars before.
That's
as you
true.
Know, we've had energy czars, we drug czars, and energy czars, and the energy czars, of course, are the ones that put in gas rationing, which means you have long lines at the thing. No gas, long lines. It sucks everything. Right. So anyway,
let's just have a czar.
Yeah, well,
we got all kinds of Soviet.
Yeah, no, we're going influence. That way. Well, right. That, I'm going to talk about that a little bit about the coming back over the country, what I saw and how things are going. Anyway,
let's get into Al Gore because he is making the
runs. Yes. Well, it turns out that the plant will generate a form of waste that no U.S. disposal site can handle and no U.S. processing facility exists that can convert the waste into lower level radioactive material. The plant could run at full capacity for 8 to 10 years before running out of space. So, I mean, the point is that here we're going to put this stuff. No clue. But, and actually, I don't have a problem with that, to be honest with you, because I think in 8 to 10 years, maybe
nanobots
will take over. Yeah, if they let the private energy people do it. Yeah, Al Gore. Al Gore has been hitting the, of course, we Associated Press, June 22nd. The Earth is the hottest it's been in at least 400 years. Probably. Of course, there's, you know, the scientist. Probably even longer. Well, there's a scientific thing of it.
Well, probably. I noticed that article went up for a whole day as 400 years, and then the next day they changed it to 2,000 years.
Right. And it says human activities are responsible for much of the recent...
Well, they did a little research in between when they published the article, and they read it.
They got the people here, claimed that it's the Northern Hemisphere, they concluded the Northern Hemisphere, huh? We're not even asking about the Southern Hemisphere. It was the warmest it's been in 2,000 years. And the research is known as the hockey stick. Okay, good.
Right.
Yeah. And well, so
and it looks, the graph been, looks like a hockey stick.
Well, hold on.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, I thought that they did their research with a hockey stick. I thought they were.
Might as well have. Yeah. Well, maybe 2,000 years ago they were using the hockey stick approach.
Look, they got beat with a hockey stick, and when they woke up, they had that image.
And it was colder, man.
The thing, here's the deal on that that gets me. It is the fear mongers are out there and they're saying that the hockey sticks of the temperature is going to go up by XYZ number of degrees.
Everything's going to melt.
Well, see, everything's going to melt.
Hold on.
The seas are going to rise.
You got to look at the hockey stick graph closely, people. If you look at the far left hand side that indicates the amplitude of the graph, what you see is that it's such a minute amount of temperature that it's the same fluctuation that happens on like a 10-year basis. That's why they get the hockey stick sharp incline. Now, if you do the research, all you got to do is Google Earth temperature over the last few billion years, okay? Unless you're an Orthodox Christian and it's been there for 5 billion years, there's temperature they can tell.
5,000, you mean.
5,000, that's what I mean. No, 5 billion years, and they can tell by relative things like ice cores and glacier formation, the position of certain rocks and stuff like that, tree rings, they can tell the temperature for this entire time. If you look back, except for the last 1 million years, the last 200 million years has been warmer than the last 1 million years.
Hmm.
So for 200 million years, it's been warmer. And only the last million years.
But we weren't here then.
I know.
Maybe.
And there weren't a lot of cars back then either.
Well, no, but but the deal is.
It was dinosaur farts, I'm
telling
you.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It probably was.
It may have
been bigger than cows.
Right. But it may turn out that it was too warm for humans, and that's why we didn't evolve back then. And we've only evolved since it got cooler.
Okay, now, since the last million years.
Although that's I don't want to use this evolving thing, because that's that we're treading on Ann Coulter territory.
Yeah, it sounds like science to me.
Yeah, no, don't.
No, seriously, even if that's the case, all you have to do is look at the last 1 million years. All right? And what you see is, in the last 1 million years, the temperature fluctuates in a fairly regular pattern. Every 100,000 years, it increases about 5 degrees, and then it decreases about 5 degrees in the next 100,000, okay? So what happens is you get a 5-degree variance over the last 1 million years 10 different times, okay? The current increase that everybody keeps talking about is one degree.
That's right.
1 degree.
Maybe so, one. Almost one.
Exactly.
But I think that the worry is, of course, that it's accelerating. That is the hockey stick is going up. In other words, it's one thing to go up 1 degree gradually, but if it goes up 0.1 degree and then suddenly goes up 0.9, they're worried about that.
Right. But if you expand, what they've done is they've taken, the hockey stick people have taken the graph and they shrunk it down so far that they're just at the little bend in the in the graph.
I understand.
If you make it a bigger graph, what happens is the hockey stick gets another end that goes up the same way, and then it goes back down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And we are literally at the end of the latest 20,000-year warming cycle.
Make it look good on paper.
Well,
exactly.
Of course.
Right.
And these people,
and give it a name, like
as they
curves.
Say, one of the things that the global warming has provided is a huge number of doctoral theses for people. I mean, that's you know, the world is covered over with paper. These people have done the studies. Now, here's the deal. I can appreciate, and one of my classmates, interestingly enough, wrote a book that has not been very well publicized. Bill Ruderman wrote a book about the impact of man, humans, whatever, on the environment. And what he says is it's actually been going on for about 5,000 years. And that's where you ought to look. It's not only the car, but it's the clearing of the land for agriculture since they got into agriculture and so forth. And that's the sort of thing that's had an influence on the environment. It's been a 5,000-year trend, not a 200-year trend.
But in fact, it's a 20,000-year trend.
It could be. But again, the Armageddon people, I mean, let's go to the mountain and drink Kool-Aid or wait for the mothership or whatever it is. I don't think that that's a problem. One of the scare tactics I was reading, in fact, in today's, which really surprised me.
Today's mullet wrapper.
In the Parade magazine.
Yeah, the mullet wrapper.
I read this. Well, this is Parade, of course, is in every.
Yeah, year. I know.
And how climate change affects you right now. And this is a total unmitigated scare article. It is the mosquitoes are going to multiply and go forth and kill everybody. And
let's go ahead and tell the idiot who wrote it.
Well, that's a good point. I
because we like to, you know, well, publicize.
No, this, but it is this is a total scare article, and it's by Eugene Linden, who
there you go,
alias, A.K.A.
And Eugene Linden is reporting on the environment has taken him from
A.K.A. anonymous writer Al Gore.
Yeah, right. His most recent book is The Winds of Change, Climate, What So Forth and So On, and the Destruction of Civilization.
That's
okay. Anyway, he goes. He talks about the things, the bad news, the bad things are going to happen, and so forth.
There's 10 different ways we're going to die.
But he doesn't. What he doesn't take into account, every one of his solutions is a government solution. The government, I'm sorry, does not have a real good track record of fixing anything.
Right. And look, here's the deal: if we've got 80,000 years as the Earth cools, okay, to get ready for this, then the market has plenty of time to work.
It'll get ready in 100 years.
That's what I mean.
I mean, if it takes 100 years for the Earth to burst into flames, we'll be ready for
Apparently,
it.
Apparently, in Al Gore's movie, the tide comes in one fell swoop like a tsunami.
Right.
Like, you know, that year,
just
the
one
ice
day.
Melts.
Right.
And
well,
then,
I'm going to see it, and I do, before I make too much of a comment on it, I do want to see it. And it was interesting because one of my favorite anti-capitalist, total communist podcast is Jack Clark and Blast the Right. And he blasted Ann Coulter's book, and he comes right out at the beginning and says, well, I haven't read the book. And then he goes, but he quotes, you know, quotes everybody else. And he actually made one or two little points that made sense. And also, I wanted to mention Stephen Molyneux, as always, which I was, did I mention that on the
yeah.
Hammer Dogs?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I got to write him. I mean, I'm the guy who sent him money. Anyway.
Al Gore has still not said if he's running for the president.
Yeah, well, that.
But he obviously is out there trying to see if.
Right.
To test
this
the
is, well, if they had a philosophy, and that is the. I think he's waiting to be drafted or something. If everybody else, like, commits suicide or drops off or gets dead or something.
Right.
What I did find out, one of the things in the paper, they're saying it was recommended with two thumbs up, which is supposed to be a big deal from Ebert and Roper. I happened to watch that particular review, and they said, I'm sitting here in front of the microphone, folks. Look closely at your iPod speaker. I'm holding my thumb sideways, it's wiggling. It's going.
It's not up. It's not down.
It's like arm wrestling. Okay, it's up. Barely marginal thumbs up. And they said, and they did say, and this is a typical example, I guess, of with the way people do things, and they do it all the time in movies. Two thumbs up. What you have to take that is in the context they said it. And they said one of the reasons you should see it.
The context is in a parallel universe we're giving it two thumbs down.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, they said might not have any bearing on truth. Might not, but it's one of those things that...
An interesting watch.
It will promote discussion. Right. Other than that, we say not. We sayeth not.
Right.
So
that's a pretty
BS. All I want to do is remind every global warming person... You can't look at the last 400 years or 2,000 years. Remember the Ice Age? It was cold then. That was what, 10,000, 20,000 years
ago?
Right. Yeah. We're at the end. We're at 18,000 years into the 20,000 year warming cycle. It's going to warm for another 2,000 years.
That whole Ice Age,
that's going to cool.
The whole Ice Age thing was probably the Inuit's fault.
I have no doubt. That's the kind of thing, though.
They just didn't have the Wall Street Journal.
If the pattern isn't deviating from the norm, it's hard to attribute any cause.
Well, right. The thing is, even if I can appreciate that man might have had some, could have had easily some effect on this. I mean, there's a bunch of us, and we are doing certain things that haven't been done before on a more constant scale. We're not, it's not like there's suddenly, like a volcano goes up suddenly. And that's different from everybody driving to work for 50 years.
No question we're having an impact.
And what the thing about it is the solutions that have come up so far are ridiculous. The people just don't trust the market. And what they want us to do, as I've mentioned this before, they want the United States to cut our emissions to zero tomorrow, it wouldn't make a hill of difference. It wouldn't make any difference at all because other countries are coming on stream as they progress. They have to pollute before they can unpollute.
It costs money.
You have to make money first. You don't correct the pollution before it's there. You wait until it's there, and then you have the dough to fix it. That's the it has to be the way it is. And the market will figure it out. There's no question. And to think that these guys are so bright that they're, well, their whole idea is it's a communist, it's a socialist thing. They want to take, they're smarter than the market. I will show you how to get rid of the ozone hole. I will show you how to make sure that there are no greenhouse gases anymore. We've done the thing with the mercury batteries. We've done the thing with the hairspray. We've done the thing with no more lighter fluid in your barbecue. And now catalyst on your cars and yada, 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 so forth and so on. Okay, fine and dandy, but they're always passing these laws that keep telling us what to do. And if, as I say, in the United States, if we were under lockdown here, you know, carbon footprint lockdown, no more emissions in the United States, it wouldn't amount to, somebody said we're spewing out, I don't know, 30% of the energy, but that's not enough to, the rest of the world is going to blow it for us. I mean, we're still going to be...
They'll make up the difference.
No question. And they're making it up. You talk about accelerating. Think about it.
Drive down the road to Mexico City sometime.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
And try to get a breath of fresh air.
Exactly. And the deal is that if you think... we're supposed to approach this year, I think, 300 million in the United States. Between India and China, which are on an accelerating path, mind you, accelerating path for more pollution.
Sure, beautiful.
You're talking about almost 2 billion people.
Right.
Well, we're probably going to invent the devices to help them clean it up.
I wouldn't doubt.
Right.
I wouldn't doubt. And then, of course, the thing is to get them to use it.
Yeah.
I mean, there is an incentive very often, an incentive not to go right away for that stuff. As long as you can just dump it into the lake until somebody comes along. And again, the market system would figure that out. If you were to be sued every time, like the Aaron Brockovich or whatever, you know, if you were to be sued by everybody every time you killed them, if you could attribute it to somebody in particular, the market would figure it out.
Speaking of that, they're bidding right now. There are several states bidding for a new $700 million, actually, it's $1 billion plant. The feds are chipping in $700 million.
Whoa, you mean us, the federal taxpayers, as opposed to
exactly
the people who live in the states. Okay.
And so the states are, all these different states are trying to make their pitches in terms of tax incentives. And one of Texas's pitches that they passed a law that says that the state of Texas is hereby going to indemnify the power plant. In case there's any lawsuits or anything, the taxpayers are going to pick up the tab.
Okay, so
that's our offer.
Up Texas.
Right.
Okay, so I would imagine if I was in Texas, I might want to move over the border into Oklahoma at that point. The deal, and you can imagine, there's two things to consider here. This is for a new nuclear plant?
No, it's not a nuclear. It's one of those special, I'm not exactly sure what kind, but it's a new high-tech thing. They're going to produce some sort of hydrogen. Let's see, what is it? Maybe is it hydrogen for fuel cells?
Okay, so is it supposed to blow up or what? I mean, what's the danger? What's the indemnity? What's the thing? What's the...
Just anything.
Anything.
If they pollute, that was one of their big concerns is pollution.
Okay, so
I mean, this is supposed to be a super low emission thing,
okay.
But if that fails and it emits everything...
Because it's supposed to be.
Right.
It's spewing toxin out like a rainbird sprinkler.
Yeah, right. Well, the thing about it is, the nice thing about that in a way is they can't indemnify anybody against anything. I mean, the simple fact is if the judgment against the state of Texas was $2 trillion, you can imagine that the state of Texas would empty pretty quick. I mean, because property taxes, you know, where you had been paying $3,000, they'd suddenly be $3 million, and it'd be like the Dust Bowl in there. They'd take off. I mean, it'd be just that simple. And of course, everybody that moved out with that much would shift much more of the burden on the people that were still there. I mean, that's the stupidest thing I ever. Again, typical government problem, government solution. It's a never ending snowball. Never, and then it's another problem, and it's on and on. It just compounds itself. It reminds me a little bit of the when those earthen dams, we saw a place in there where one of the earthen dams had broken out there in Colorado, and that had been built up over the years, and it when it came down, it sent a wall of water like, you know, 50 or 100, 200 feet tall, and there were boulders that were, I would say, 16 feet across that had been hurled down the mountain like Tinker Toys. I mean, and you saw the wash at the end of the thing. So but I always look at this so many of these times that when the government does something, it's like, first of all, they build the dam up, you know, a couple of inches, and then the water starts to rise, and as soon as it gets near the top, they ooh, 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 and they build it a little higher, and a little higher, and the water is always catching up, and finally, when the dam is, you know, 90 feet tall,
kaboom,
kaboom, it breaks. And, I mean, it happens all the time. Right. I mean, that's their solution, is to put another layer on the dam, build it up, make it a little stronger, and then finally, it finally, as it must.
Right.
Mother Nature will win. I'm sorry. You got nothing to worry. Mother Nature will beat your butt.
Well, we're going to all need to go out and see the Al Gore movie.
No, I'm serious. I will.
Come back. We'll talk about it more.
Well, I had a philosophy of not supporting anything like that. But I did go see the Michael Moore movie. And actually, there was a couple of points in there that were interesting. I mean, it wasn't a total whack job.
It was hard to watch for me.
I know. But again, that's the beauty of renting it. Because
yeah.
That's why God invented fast forward.
Yeah,
and
unbelievable.
And so the deal is that I'm going to go ahead and I will go see the Al Gore. Or maybe I'll wait till it comes out on DVD.
Well, hey, tell us a little bit about your trip.
Okay,
for our fans out there, you know he met up with the Hanger Dogs.
You're right.
Now
let me just make sure. Before we pinch that off, as they say.
What a metaphor.
Yeah, what a metaphor. I learned all out about that. When you're riding around in a car, things tend to stack up, you know. And
with a grandma strapped to the roof.
Oh, my God. The other thing I did want to mention about was the boom in that has to do with this sort of thing is the boom in ethanol. And it is interesting, this article that comes from the New York Times of yesterday, June 25th, by Alexei Brushnikov. No, Alexei Bernuevo. That's interesting. Russian and Latin. Okay. Barrio Nuevo. That's interesting. The new Barrio.
Barrio.
Alexei from the new Barrio. Okay, good. Anyway, he talks in here about, the title is, For Good or Ill, Boom in Ethanol Reshapes the Economy of the Heartland. And there's a gold rush on to build ethanol plants. And this article even mentions I'm looking at this now. It's a 5-page article that I printed out. It's quite extensive. 6 pages, I guess, as I printed it out. And
could be a job creator. Haven't.
Well, they talk about that. Right. But what's so funny about this? What this reminds me of, and people who have never studied American history, which is almost everybody these days, don't realize what a boondoggle, believe it or not, the original trains were in this country. When they figured out that they wanted trains, Congress stole all kinds of land and they checkerboarded across the country and they set up this thing to build the first, around the time of the Civil War, they appropriated money to private companies to build the coast-to-coast train. And it was, I mean, that's what made some of those people unbelievably rich. The government, for whatever reason, had come up with a number of whatever it was, $10,000 a mile or something. And the guys moving from the East Coast, of course, had it easy because they went across the heartland. They went across Nebraska and Kansas, which is like, you know, flatski. And the guy coming from California.
Through the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
He was
laying about an inch a day and the guy on the other side was laying about a mile. And so, they met up in where? Utah. Promontory Point. This is where they met up in Utah. So the deal was, this is the same. This ethanol is the, and they talk about it. It's the gold rush. It is the land grab. It is a law of unintended consequences, all rolled into one, all because of these huge government subsidies. One of the laws of unintended consequences of the ethanol. First of all, you don't realize that ethanol is produced, in order to produce ethanol from corn, you need a lot of, guess what? Oil. I mean, it uses a bunch of oil or natural gas to produce the ethanol. Surprise. Somebody told me it actually, as far as the energy content is concerned, it actually uses about the same or more. I don't know if that's true. Even if it uses less, I would hope that it used less. Point is, how much less is it? I mean, even if it's half, I mean, it's using up, you have to use all this oil and natural gas. Of course, we have the natural gas, I guess. And in order to produce the ethanol, which has a lower energy factor. I think it's about 25% lower.
Yeah, I think Stitz talked about that on your
yeah.
session.
But the deal is what they want to do is they want to make, right now you can add something upwards of about 10% ethanol to regular gas and you don't have to monkey with your car. It doesn't run quite, I mean, it's okay, but you don't have to mess with it. Any more than that, you have to start redesigning the engine or the ports or the fuel injection or whatever it is. And that's what they're talking about, this new standard called E85, which is 15%. Ethanol. Now, the problem, of course, is as you buy more and more corn to convert to ethanol, corn is also used for food. and
not food, only for humans,
but for cattle. Right, exactly. So the feedlots, of course, and of course, the government has subsidized corn for years
to keep the prices
to keep the price down. So suddenly, if the demand for corn starts to go through the ceiling,
just ask Oprah what happens when you take on the beef industry.
Yeah,
that's right.
So if the demand
they'll
for
they'll be screaming loud.
Well, the thing is, it's interesting because then you've got Archer Daniel Midland, who's the big corn people, against Cargill, who's the big beef producer, feedlot people. I mean, it's the giants. In the battle of the elephants, the mice get squashed or something. So,
well, it wouldn't be so bad for them battling if the government weren't picking a side.
Right, and that's exactly... Well, of course, what's going to happen is the government will pick both sides. Again, the mice. So the deal is that as the price of this corn maybe goes through the ceiling, of course, that means that beef and everything else goes up, and the subsidies go up, and they're paying a 51 cent bounty per gallon for the ethanol. The government is. It turns out that the way it works is, and the reason why the ethanol plants are coming online so quick. Fortunately, it doesn't take but about a couple of months to build one, and they said they can get 100% profit in 2 years. Oh, hello. Why aren't they? I mean, there are subsidies scattered all around that the taxpayers are picking up. The thing that, again, and I think I mentioned this on the Hangar Dogs podcast, is that if you take into all the costs down the line, $2 gasoline might actually be costing you $4. I mean, you don't know because you're paying it through other subsidies, taxpayers, right, the agriculture bill, the freight, the lost energy here, there, and the other place. I mean, and nobody ever takes that into account. The price mechanism, 99 times out of 100, well, in this country, it's probably 75 times out of 100. If the government's not involved, the price mechanism is a perfect, the most efficient, the most self-correcting way to figure out what resources go where. Only
if the government's not involved.
Right. That's only right. When the government is involved does it distort the path to efficiency that the price system does do. And that's, it's interesting because lacking, absent government interference, as I've mentioned before, when you pick up a box of Cheerios as opposed to a box of Wheaties, you have communicated to 10 or 15 or 20,000 people down the line what they should be doing. And yet when government artificially makes corn cheap or something and tells me that corn flakes, for instance, cost a nickel a box and Wheaties cost $10 a box, suddenly the government is in the equation, and the signals to the market are all distorted.
What's awful is that their whole industry is built up like this one.
Right.
That, and then people are all relying on it.
And then the nun whippers.
Exactly.
And then there is this constituency that it just won't get out of the way. That's exactly right. The government builds a constituency and then has to help. I mean, we see this all the time. It's the same thing here with, and that becomes a right. Same thing here with cable TV or TV in general or radio or, as soon as something becomes ubiquitous, the government says now it's a right. What do you call it? An entitlement. And if you think you're going to cut off my TV set, which I'm going to talk about here as far as NPR is concerned, they're thinking about cutting that off. So that my point on this, to finish that off, is that the ethanol thing is another boondoggle. And if anybody out there wants to take this broadcast, if they make some money because of what I've just told you, you can send it to me personally.
That's right. Hey, nice way to pinch that one off,
Jim. Yeah, pinch it off. That's right.
And the Nun Whippers, isn't that a band from Seattle?
Yeah. Hey, that is a good name for a rock band.
It would be.
Yeah, that's good.
Starting our band name.
Yeah. So we're done with that.
All right.
Okay. The
we'll be right back after these messages.
Right.
Actually, did you want to tell our listeners that we might be actually on the radio here?
Oh, yeah, I would. Counselor Curtis, I have not read the whole thing. What are we going to do?
Well, I don't have the call letters with me, but you may be able to catch us before too long on some sort of radio-like substance.
That's right. That's
right. Electromagnetic emission.
So we're thinking about selling out. I mean, expanding our base.
I think you had it right.
There is nothing wrong with selling out. I'm a firm believer in selling out.
Well, I'm I'm glad you said that, because I signed for all of us.
Oh! Oh! That's right.
It's our power of attorney.
That's right.
It's
like, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be in Portland, I believe, Maine.
Yeah.
Maine. Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
Okay, and so it's going to broadcast all the way. It's a 50 wet string with an antenna.
You get. No, I don't think it's that bad.
It's satellite, isn't it? Satellite.
No, I think it's an actual real live station. But we'll get some more information about it.
But then you podcast it too.
Yeah, well, yeah. We're still going to mix our shows for our podcast listeners. No question.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. And which reminds me, I wanted to thank you once again for doing the mix for Hangar Dogs.
No
that
problem.
Was great. Yeah. They loved it. They said, oh my, they were ready to fly you out there. I mean, they said, whoa, need this guy.
Well, Stitch made it easy for me because I love when he's kept going. You know, no, we're not cutting anything, man. Leave it in.
As he's yelling this from the beer thing, you heard it in the background. Yeah. You know, every time you hear that little ding, little chime, you know, they're going to get a beer.
Yeah. That's the worst part is I usually listen to their podcast when I'm working out. I keep hearing this chime all the time. It makes you want to have a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like conditioned like Pavlov's dog. No.
That's right.
This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You just finished listening to part one of the June 25th podcast. If you need part two, you can always find it at jimmydoan.com.